Okay, it's the next one. They look very beautiful.
Now, let me tell you a little story about this sermon. It's something I've never preached on this exact topic ever. Y'all say ever. I've used it hundreds of times. Hundreds of times. Matter of fact, I can't even tell you how many times. Hundreds times hundreds. And somebody needs to give Jeannie a ride. She's thumbing back there. Hold on. No, she's motioning for kids to go to children's church. I thought she was thumbing. I think our mailman's mad at us too. I sent a film to be developed on an envelope. It was printed. Photographs do not bend. It came back with a folded envelope, folded in half, and wrote on the words outside, "Oh, yes, they do." Okay, never mind. That'll never be used again. All right. I was, get your Bibles. You ain't got to stand. You don't have to stand yet, but go ahead and I'm going to tell you where it's at because it may take you a while to find it. Ecclesiastes, chapter 11. Now, I have, why is it dead up there, I wonder? Because it's on right here. Okay, let me see that. Minor difficulties is not a problem. Watch this. There you go. Hi. I was walking through Walmart, and I began to feel, I was talking with some person, I won't go into who the person was, but I was talking to the person, and I felt them kind of stressed out. Anybody ever been stressed out? They were feeling kind of stressed out because they were overwhelmed with what was going on around them, and then I talked with several other people that were being overwhelmed by what was going on around them. Have you ever been overwhelmed by what's going on around you? Amen. Are you overwhelmed now? Do not look at the person beside you when you say yes. My wife looked at me. All right. Well, I'm at Walmart, and while I'm at Walmart, I had my groceries, and I walked out, and I'd parked. The only place I could find to park on the cement was full of water. So my car is in this little big old puddle of water. It goes out about 3 foot all around. You're going to say, well, what's that got to do with anything? The price of tea in China, you'll find out. So while I walk through the water, I'm standing in the water. I look around my car, I don't see anything as I'm getting ready to decide which door to open. So I'm opening up the door, and as I'm opening up the door, there's nobody around me. I put my stuff in the car, and I said, Lord, I need a message to encourage some people. Matter of fact, it would be cool if you even encouraged me, Lord. And so as I put my stuff up, I started taking my cart, and remembering I've already looked around my car. As I started to put my car up, I looked down and said, there's money behind my car. Don't y'all like that when you find money, especially if you find out that it's not fake? And so I reached down and I pulled it up, and it was a fresh, crisp $5 bill. This $5 bill was hardly even wet, laying in that on that water, on top of the water. And so I picked it up and I stuck it in my car. I said, that's wild, Lord. It didn't even sink and nothing. It was just laying on top of the water like it was doing. And I stuck it in my car, and the Lord said, Ecclesiastes 11. And of course, I went and used this and told some people. There was one person in particular, but there was other people that needed to hear it, including myself. And it was so awesome that it just blew me away that the Lord gave me not just a message, but He gave me a picture message. Now, I want you to get your Bible out, and I want you to turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Have you found it? Say amen. If you don't, y'all that have it, turn around to other people and say, just keep sitting down then. No. Now just tell them, stand up and act like you know where it's at. Everybody stand up. God is awesome. All the time. Ecclesiastes, chapter 11, verse 1. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to 7, also to 8, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. Everybody say amen. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether thou shalt or whether shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Let's stretch forth your hands this way. Ask God for a special touch and a special anointing. Father, you're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. You're in total, absolute, positive control. There's nothing beyond your scope. There's nothing beyond you. Lord, you are more than capable. You are more than able to meet every need in this place this night or this day. I ask you right now, Father, to touch and anoint, Father, in a way that only you can. I know, God, that you are more than able, Lord, to touch our hearts, to touch our minds. I ask you right now, Father, to minister, Lord, in a way that only you can, and we thank you for it, God. Lord, I believe that you spoke prophetically to us last week when you said it was the rebirth of the church. And as the rebirth of the church, nothing is grown full grown. Nothing is born full grown. It has to grow as a process. And in that process, this scripture hits perfect, hits right on. Father, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. Amen. You can be seated on the way down, shake somebody's hand and tell them you're glad to be in the house of God with them today. Go ahead and tell them that. My topic today is sounds kind of weird. The cycle of blessing. The cycle of blessing. Matter of fact, hopefully in the next 3, 4, 5 weeks, we're going to talk about different kind of cycles in our life. We're not talking about Harleys and Hondas and rice burners. I even tried to look up pictures to put up here, and I'll put up cycle, and the first thing come up was a Honda. And I said, I ought to put that up there because Brandon would love it. No, cycles. Now, today, in the next 2 weeks, is going to be no deposit, no return. Now, you're saying, here we go, going to talk about money. Nah. Not about money, although money's involved in it. It's not about money. It's about you, and it's about your attitude. You know me. I'm not a money preacher. Except for last night, I did give out $700. I gave away $700 at a minister's banquet. We played a little game. I gave out, started to give out two of them $100. They did so good, I gave them all $100. I kept one for myself. That was $700. Of course, it was play money, but hey, it was still... I thought, if y'all play, there's going to be a cash prize. And they said, cool, we'll play. Then when they started getting their money, they said, we got ripped. I said, no, you didn't. You did good, man. No deposit, no return. You don't put anything in, you won't get anything out. Now, get ready. Let's go ahead and read that scripture again, but this time we're going to read it in a different version. Let's go to the New Living Translation. Skip ahead one, dear. There you go. Send your grain across the seas, and in time profits will flow back to you. But divide your investments among many places, for you do not know what risk may lie ahead. When clouds are heavy, the rains come. Whether a tree falls north or south, it stays where it falls. Farmers who wait for perfect weather never plant. If they watch every cloud, they never harvest. Just as you cannot understand the path of the wind or the mystery of a tiny baby growing in its mother's womb, you cannot understand the activity of God who does all things. Plant your seed in the morning and keep it busy all afternoon, for you don't know if profit will come from one activity or another, or maybe both. Let's just talk a little bit about this now. Let's get started before I get into the cycles. How many in here has ever been in a rut. How many is in a rut today? How many has got things in your life that the rut's just eating away at you? Well, here we're talking about a rut. Let me talk to you about a rut for a few minutes. A rut, it's an acrostic. R, restricted. U, useless. T, a trench. When you find yourself in a rut, you'll find yourself, instead of moving forward or backwards, or instead of making progress, you'll find yourself restricted. You find yourself useless in what you're trying to do, and you find yourself in a, you're trenched up. When you find yourself in this position, you find yourself in a terrible, terrible predicament. Matter of fact, the symptoms of a rut. I'm glad somebody asked it. Well, how do you know when you're in a rut? Here you go. Here's your symptoms. Number one, there's no movement in your life. There's no movement. You're just kind of stuck. You're not going forward. You're not going backwards. You're just stuck. Has anybody in here ever been just stuck? Not going anywhere. You're saying, well, at least I'm not going backwards. Well, you know what? Yeah, you are. You just don't see it because you're stuck in that rut. No forward movement. Number two, you lose interest in the activities around you. Have you ever lost any interest in the things that were going on around you? Things that you should never lose interest in. But you lose it because you're in a rut. And then finally, there's no victory. None. You find yourself constantly in a defeated mindset. You find yourself in a defeated or having a defeated attitude. You find yourself being two or three or four of the seven drawers, grumpy, dopey. Tell us, name them all. Who can name them off? Happy, you're not happy. Steve? No, that wasn't one of them. Oh, sleepy. I thought you said Steve. Okay. But you find yourself as one of the seven drawers. You find yourself in this rut. Now, how many would like to know a surefire way to break out of a rut? Promise. It works every time. Get ready to tell you, will cause you to break out of your rut. It'll cause you to start moving again. It'll cause you to get your interest back. It'll cause you to have victory come back into your life. It'll have you more interested in what's going on around you. And here's what you do. The way out of a rut is to get into the cycle. The way out of the rut is to get into a cycle. Now, I know you're saying, man, you're flipping me out. Now I have no idea what you're talking about. You know, there's a sign on an Alaskan highway. This is true. There's a sign on an Alaskan highway that reads, choose your rut carefully. You'll be in it for the next 200 miles. That's good, brother. That's real good. So now, cycles. God is a God of cycles, not Harleys and Hondas and Suzukis. God is a God of cycles. Life cycles. In each cycle, God is working and causing things to happen in our life that if you trust Him, if you'll get in this cycle, you say, well, that's just getting in good habits. I'm talking about going beyond good habits, because you can be in good habits and still be in a rut. We're talking about breaking out of the rut. To get in a cycle of God, I'm going to explain some cycles. Like there's the life cycle. You're born, then you crawl, then you walk, you eat baby food, then you eat hard food, and then you have children yourself, and then you have grandchildren, and then you go on to be with the Lord. That is a life cycle. We all go, if we have a loss in our life, we have something that you call the grieving cycle. And everybody goes in this grieving cycle. And God designed it to prevent us from actually blowing a circuit when we experience loss, whether it be loss of a loved one, loss of a job, loss of something, loss of a limb. So there's the grief cycle. There's a life cycle. There's a faith cycle. God has all these cycles in our lives. And we're getting ready to talk about one now in Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Each cycle is principle driven. Now, what do you mean by principle? Principle-driven means it's based on and worked through His truth. And that's one of them. when you base it on and work through the cycle in His truth, some amazing things happen. Number one is life accurate. Life accurate. Why? Because it will work. It will be there. You can trust it. You know, facts change. Until 68, facts were men never went to the moon. Now what's the fact? Men have gone to the moon. In the 1800s, usually facts said you got pneumonia, you would die. Not anymore. You still do at times, but not anymore. Like it was fact. A fact says men can't walk on the water. Truth says, come. So watch. It's life accurate. Facts may change, but the truth is always the truth. You know, I said I believe the Lord's coming back. And I think it was Eddie one day told me, he said, well, whether I believe it or not, He's coming back. You know, you must be born again. Whether I believe it or not, you must be born again. There is principle-driven cycles, life accurate, and leak-proof. If you follow these principles, the devil himself, although he may hinder you, he will never stop you. Listen to this. Although he may hinder you, he will never stop you. Because you're now purpose-driven, principle-driven. You're it's accurate, it's leak-proof, and it's impartial. No matter who you are, what color you are, what age you are, you follow, again, these cycles and follow these principles. Amazing stuff begins to happen in your life. Now, let's start going back into the scripture here. Now, Solomon. I don't know if you know it or not. You know, Solomon was the wisest man in the world. He was the richest man in the world. Well, one of the reasons he was so rich is because he was in the shipping trade. And in the shipping trade, he was very successful. And in the shipping trade, it brought him great profit. In 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 22, it says, in Amplified Version, for the king had a fleet of ships of Tarshish at sea with the fleet of Hiram. Once every 3 years, the fleet of ships of Tarshish came bringing gold, silver, ivory, apes, and peacocks. I could have cared less about the apes and the peacocks, but everything else seemed pretty cool. So, they could have brought chicken. That would have been awesome. So, King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth in riches and in wisdom and skill. This man knew the importance of this shipping trade because it got him beyond his own self. A lot of times, right now, let me tell you something. If you're experiencing depression. Now, please don't get me wrong, because there's some depressing things that happen to all of us. But if you're experiencing depression, I'm not talking about depressing events. I'm talking about depression. And if you're having a hard time getting motivated, spiritually, Satan loves you there, because when you're having a hard time getting motivated, when you're having a hard time getting beyond this depressing moment, what happens is, he keeps you looking in the mirror. And in the mirror, you keep hearing, you're not good enough. You keep hearing, you'll never get out of it. You keep hearing, hey, nobody's listening. You keep hearing, nobody'd even care if I wasn't even here. And while you're looking in that mirror, you'll find yourself going further and further back. You get into the rut and you're stuck. Now, the solution. Here's a good solution right here. Get ready to throw it out to you right now. This one right here will bring somebody victory today. Matter of fact, more than one person's going to walk out of here and say, wow, I didn't see it that way. I never understood it that way. And now that I see that, Satan's trying to get me to see, not see beyond the nose. Now, some of us, when we look at the nose in our face, we see farther than others. Some of us can't see very far at all. Amen. But what Solomon was showing here, matter of fact, watch this. Solomon's not focused on the prophets of this. When Solomon writes this, he knew, God knew that you'd be sitting in here 4,000 years later, 5, or 3,000 years later, you'd be sitting right here hearing this message. This isn't about the shipping lane. This is about getting beyond that rut. Getting beyond looking in the mirror of not good enough, or everybody's talking, or nothing's working, to go beyond the mirror, and now you're looking out of a window, and you're seeing people need Jesus, and you've got gifts that God wants to use. And so Satan's trying to stop your gift from being used to open up other people's eyes and get them to quit looking in the mirror likewise. So now, here we go. He's not focused on prophets, but the simple truth that if one is to reap, he must first cast his bread upon the water. Now, here it goes. If I'm looking in the mirror, I'll never cast anything out. If I'm stuck in the rut, I'm never going to cast anything out because I'm afraid that it's not good enough. I'm afraid it'll never work. I'm afraid people won't like it. Blah, blah, blah. Just the devil just throws all this stuff at us. And so we're afraid to throw it out upon the water. Watch this. Here's the trick. Here's what Satan knows. We will never achieve spiritual maturity, and we will never reap the harvest that God has for us if we don't get beyond the mirror and start looking out the window. And the way we get beyond the mirror and look out the window is participate in what God's doing. Now, participate in what God's doing. Say, well, I don't know if I've got anything God can use for me. There's not a person in here that God goes, well, you know what? They're the one person I did not give a gift to. Oops. They're the one person I said, well, nobody could ever use them. Matter of fact, I don't even know why I even made them. There's nobody here that God says it about. Not one. There's not one here that God said, well, they came in late. My wife and I, we pick all the time about, I got a half a brain, she got a half a brain. The Lord, we were coming to get our brains. The Lord just said, I only got one left. I'll give her half, give her the other half. The only problem is someday she's got the whole brain. I'm trying to think. Then some days I got the whole brain. She's trying to think. And then some days we have no idea where the brain's at. Okay. So here we go. Get ready. Everybody. Y'all say everybody. Everybody in here, believe it or not, is equipped for success. Everybody. Y'all say everybody. But many lack the motivation. They're looking. Listen, Satan's got them in that rut. Satan's got them depressed. Satan's got them looking in the mirror. If they will get motivated, look out the window and participate, there's no telling what everybody could accomplish. And there's no telling what we could do for God's kingdom today. Y'all say today. Now this, there's four principles here, but when I got working on the first one, I found out that we'd be here till 3 o'clock, and y'all wouldn't be listening. So I'm just going to do the first principle today, and the other ones next week. But I want you to listen. I want you to think about something. Think about it clearly, and when you start hearing it, here's what I want you to do. I want you to look at somebody right now, tap them on the shoulder, and say, "He's talking about your full abilities." Tell somebody. He's talking about your full abilities. So watch this. Get ready. Get ready. Number one, cast your bread upon the water. Here it is. If you don't send anything out, you can't expect anything to come in. Like the guy saying, God, let me win the lottery. God, please let me win the lottery. God, please. He prayed for months. God, please let me win the lottery. He watched TV every night and never called his number and said, God, let me win the lottery. And finally one night when I was praying, he said, God, you've let me down. I've been praying for months. Let me win the lottery. And God said, buy a ticket. If you don't put anything out, nothing, no deposit, no return. If you don't put something in, you're going to get nothing out. I tell you what I want you to do. How many in here bank at Wachovia? Raise your hand. Okay, y'all put y'all's down. How many don't bank at Wachovia? Raise your hand. Here's what I want y'all to do after service. We're all going to make a big old line. We're going to go to Wachovia to the drive-through. I want you to take your bank card or whatever kind of bank it is. I want you to put it in And I want you to withdraw your money from your bank from Wachovia. You know what they're going to say? Huh? Who are you? Because you didn't, you ain't put anything in Wachovia, pray. Y'all that got Wachovia, y'all are blessed. Y'all that got First Citizens are blessed. Y'all that got First South is blessed. All of you are just blessed. Okay, I didn't cover all the banks, but y'all know where y'all are at. Okay. If you didn't put anything in, you can't get anything out. Go up to the window and say, I want to withdraw my funds. And they can say, Mr., who are you? I'm David Linton. I want to draw at least, give me at least 100 then. I told you, you don't have an account here. All right, give me 50. But you never put anything in. Well, then give me 25. Sir, if you don't leave, I'm going to give you some handcuffs. Yeah, they've already pushed the button. If you don't put it in, you can't get it out. That's as simple can be. That's one of the first things I learned as a child. You don't put it in, you don't get it out. Amen. So watch this. Watch this. This is so awesome. Here's the first and one of God's cycles here in this scripture. Sowing and reaping. That's another cycle. Again, this isn't just talking about money. You say, here we go about money. Money's involved. Let me ask you a question. You go to McDonald's today, is money involved? If you go to Walmart, is money involved? If you go to the picture show, is money involved? If you get up in the morning and cook breakfast, is money involved? Do you know that money's involved in every part of our life? So money is important. If it isn't, then whatever you don't want, put up here. We'll put it to good use. But this isn't just about money. This is about every aspect of your life. Every aspect of your life. Do not be deceived. God does not mock. For whatsoever a man sows, this will he also reap. For one who sows to his own flesh shall from the flesh reap corruption. He's looking in the mirror. But he who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap eternal life. Now you're looking out the window. And let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time, at the perfect time, we shall reap. If we do not grow weary. This deals with the actual act of sowing. So watch this now. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. How many's ever heard that somebody gave a how many's ever seen somebody that lost their dog or they lost a cat and they put out a reward? And you went looking? For that dog or that cat? Did you go to that man and go, I looked for your cat for an hour a day. Can I get some of that reward? Cat's still missing. Well, I looked for him for 3 hours. Can I get some of that reward? No, you got to bring the cat. But God is the only one that'll bless you for just seeking him. Wow. I ain't got to find the cat and God will still bless me. Because I'm seeking him. And one of the ways I seek him is I put my faith to work. He said, without faith it's impossible to please God. And then it says right, brother, without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is. He's a reward of them who diligently seek him. So now, see, there's a lot of people, they wouldn't have the faith in God, but they're not diligently seeking him. I wonder why God's not blessing. They wonder why God's not doing something for them. Why God's not working. Sometimes it's not time for God to work. Sometimes there's a due season. The due season hasn't come. But there's a lot of times I found out, if you don't put something in, you're not what? Get anything out. So watch this. This right here just blew me away. God, according to Scripture, doesn't reward idleness. Y'all say that with me. God does not reward idleness. God does not reward us playing it safe. Y'all should be saying amen or ouch. Y'all are getting quiet. Okay, there's an ouch. I hope to hear some amens. I keep hearing the ouch over there. When Peter was on the water on that boat, the boat was sinking, and Jesus said, come. He didn't go yank him out of the boat. He said, come, but Peter had to get out of the boat. When he had 5,000 men plus women and children, they had to feed him with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Jesus said, well, go find something for him. And he come back and said, we got this little boy here. He's got 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but what are they? And Jesus said, quit playing it safe. Give them to me. Watch what I can do with them. But it's just a little boy's lunch. Quit playing it safe. Give it to me and watch what I can do. And the little boy carried home 12 baskets full after they fed about 15, 20,000 people off of 5 loaves and 2 fishes. 5 loaves, 2 fish, or 3. What it is a boy's lunch, sardines and biscuits. You see, you have to step out and you have to cast something. God allows us to be in this process. Watch this. Giving, and again, we're talking about the total person. Giving shapes our character. Did you know that? Not only does it shape our character, it makes us more like our Father. Did you know that? John 3:16 says, what? For God so loved that He... Now watch what God did. He gave what we needed, His Son. Because man couldn't do the job. There was no earthly priest that could do this. He gave it when we needed it, in the fullness of time. And He did it how we needed it. John 1:14, the Word became flesh. So God looked after our need and totally met it. When we give our time, our talent, and our treasure, that's the total man, time, talent, and treasure, then we quit playing it safe. We get beyond idleness, and God can do something spectacular in our life. I met Harold Thompson last night. I don't know if y'all remember him. He's about 4 years older than me. He holds all these records at ECU for the most tackles in 3 years, 426 tackles in 3 years. We were talking about it. He walked on, and he made the special teams the first year. Next 3 years, he played first string, and the very first time when he played UNC State, he got 26 tackles in that game. 26. Wow. Wow. I've probably tripped 26 times in a game. I don't think I have made 26 tackles. Matter of fact, when he was doing it, I was riding through Greenville. I remember I was riding through Greenville. We were riding a 65 Mustang, a white 65 Mustang, me and Robert Hyatt. And he had a big old NC State sticker on the back of his car. And they hollered. People hollered, loser! ECU fans were about to kill us. Amen. We had to get out of there. He got drafted by the Cowboys. He's coming to our church, of course. He's going to come. He now runs a rehab center. And he's going to come to our church and tell us about the rehab center and tell us about his life. But he got drafted in the 6th round from the Dallas Cowboys. He said he'd gone in the 3rd round, but his mouth got in the way. He said when he was 185 pounds, the smallest middle lineman. They called him Too Small Thompson. Linda just calls him Harry. He said he got to Dallas, and he decided he was going to tell Tom Landry how to run the team. Then he decided he was going to get in a fight and hurt Tony Dorsett. Next thing you know, he was on a bus to Greenville, South Carolina. They didn't care. He said, we don't care where you go. He said, I don't live in Greenville, South Carolina. He said, we don't care. Just get out of here. We don't need your mouth. Then he winds up in the Canadian League. And y'all remember this. Some of y'all remember this. When the Canadian Football League took over and was playing for a long time. Do you remember one time? I can't remember the name of the team he was on. But the guy was running for a touchdown, and he was right there just about at the goal line. And when he did, this guy with a mouth, Harold Thompson, said, he can't make that touchdown. And so he stands up, and he steps to the sideline. And when the guy's running down the sideline, he holds his arm out. Y'all remember that? Somebody remembers that. Yeah, y'all remember that? That's the guy. He clotheslined him. So anyway, he clotheslined him. Of course, the referees hollered, and he said, then this great little big 300-pound man come running from the other team this way. And he said, it was like the Red Sea, all his teammates moved. And he said that man with the size shoe about that big kicked him right in the chest, and he couldn't breathe for about 3 weeks. But his mouth got him in trouble again. Because it was all about him. All about him. All about him. He wound up playing for the USFL, all this stuff. I won't get into all his story. But when God turned his life around is when he quit looking in the mirror and started looking out the window. In no time at all, he's going to be Dr. Earned Dr. Harold Thompson with a doctorate in drug counseling. And he said once he got past him and realized he had to sow, God was just filling all me up with all this stuff all during the week. Once he started sowing, then God helped him to reap. Now, everybody in here, your life has to be tied to a greater purpose. It just can't be about you. Satan, if he gets you depressed, gets you disturbed, gets you distraught, now he's got you looking in that mirror. And one of the best ways to get out of that mirror is to reach out and to cast your bread upon the water. Now we're going to talk about other ways that's going to happen next week, but we're just going to stop right here, just about stop. I didn't say stop, just about stop. I've thrown out the brakes, okay? So the dare is cast your bread upon the waters. That's the dare. Here's the danger. In Solomon's day, there was many shipwrecks. In Solomon's day, pirates frequented the seas, and so many times the cargo was stolen. In Solomon's day, ship captains were often dishonest, and there certainly wasn't any insurance policies to cover losses. So the merchants would just take a loss. You say, well, you just said reach out. Now you're going to tell us how bad things are. No. There's going to be a delay. And in this delay, because it says, cast your bread upon the waters, and many days it'll come back to you. There's a delay. A time of waiting. And it's during this time of waiting, Satan will play with your head and say, yep, somebody, they don't care. What you've done is insignificant. What you said was nothing. You know, you tried to have a bright day. They don't want a bright day. You've tried to reach out and tried to help them. They don't want any help. You've tried to have a good attitude. Nobody else has a good attitude. Blah, 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 blah. And he just beats you up because in human thinking, so many things can happen. But God gave us a promise. Matter of fact, I want you to watch this. Now we're closing. I want you to watch this promise. There's seven laws of the harvest. Again, time, talent, treasure. Y'all say it with me. Time, talent, treasure. Time, that's your total self. Time, talent, treasure. There's times where I really can't give to the cause, but I can give them some hours. I might not give them any money, but I can give them some hours. There might be a time where I might not be able to give them any time, but I mean, that's actually down on the ground time, but I got a talent and I can use that talent to help them build something for them or fix something for them. Or sometimes I might just have the treasure. But one of those three, no matter what it is, if you instead of just immediately going, I ain't got time, I'm busy. When you immediately do that, you're holding up the mirror. But when you can look out that window. Well, you know what? I may not have the treasure, but I got the time. I may not have the time, but I got the talent. I may not have a whole lot of time, but I got a little bit. So let me try to get some stuff done here. And when you learn, matter of fact, let me ask you a question. How many in here would like to see people around you have a better attitude? Now, nobody's going to say anything now because you're scared to death of the people beside you. How many here would like to see better people getting better on the job talking with you? How many in here, y'all don't want anything, do y'all mighty simple people? How many in here would like to see people be more cheerful in their exploits around you? All right, watch this. How many like to see some people just smile around you? I'm going to give you a challenge right now. I want you to turn to the person beside you, immediately beside you, and just go. Do you see what happened? That was immediate. You sold a smile, and you got one immediately back. I used to try this. I've told some of y'all about this. I'd go to the Washington Square Mall. I still do it from time to time in other places. I go to Washington Square Mall, and I'd go down one side, and I'd do this, watch. And people would be on the, maybe sitting there, and they had their babies and their youngins, and they'd be all hella happy, and I'd be going. And they would go. Youngins start crying. Mama say, get in the car, get in the car. And then I get the other side and come back. And when I come back, the other side I go. And I watch people now, people are sitting on the side that just were going. And they're going. You see, what you sow, you're going to reap. If you come in a bad situation, people got bad attitudes, try having a good one. Hey, that's a switch. Instead of joining, matter of fact, here it is. Sowing and reaping. You have a chance to be either a thermometer. A thermometer. That's somebody that murmurs in a really hot or cold. A thermometer. A thermometer or a thermostat. A thermometer checks the conditions and reflects the conditions. A thermostat checks the conditions and then changes it accordingly as the thermostat is set. God has not called us to be thermometers. God's called us to be thermostats. In other words, every time you come in a situation, we ought to be able to change it, especially if it's bad. If it's good, you might not want to change it. You might just want to go ahead and get along with it. Okay, don't make it bad. But look, here it is. We reap the seven laws of harvest. We reap what has only been sown. You can't walk around all day at work going, it'll never work. I hate that boss. I hate everybody around me. Matter of fact, I think next week I'm going to turn in my resignation on the way out the door. I'm going to kick the door open. I'm going to beat somebody. And then wonder why everybody's going around going. Be cheerful. Be full of joy. And as you sow that joy, people will start getting on board with you. Some people won't. Some people, honestly, they enjoy being sad. Some people just enjoy it. I think they wouldn't want to be happy. But most people will. You watch what happens. We reap the same in kind as we sow. So if you look, if you need to see attitudes change, then give a good attitude and watch the attitudes come back to you. If you're needing, and I'm gonna throw it out there too, there might be some things you need financially, or some things you need like you're needing God to do something for you, and so you're gonna find somebody else to do it for. It's amazing. You go out and do something for somebody, and all of a sudden, next thing you know, God's doing it for you. Or somebody comes up and goes, I have no understanding why I'm here doing this. But I remember one time, God told me I only had $10 in my pocket. And there was a couple that I was ministering to, and God said, I know it was him. He spoke to me and said, I want you to go buy them a ham. Because it was Christmas time. Go buy my ham and give it to him. I said, well, Lord, I ain't got but $10. I was going to buy a ham. I put it in my pot. I know none of y'all are that carnal. And so I said, Lord, that's what time. Oh, it's 12:15. Everybody's looking. Y'all, amen. Hallelujah. Does he realize it's 12:15? The Baptists are going to beat us at McDonald's. Get up. Okay. And so I said, Lord, I honestly, my kids could enjoy that ham. And the Lord spoke to me so strong, take that $10 and give the man a ham. Not only did I have to buy the ham, I had to drive 15 miles to give it to him. So I buy the ham, I go 15 miles, I give him the ham. He goes, you didn't have to do that. And I said, yeah, I did. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And then I go back and I said, oop, I was supposed to pick up something at the mall. I couldn't even remember. So I'm walking around kind of in a daze because now I'm walking around the mall looking for something and I'm broke. It's kind of, you know. So I'm still looking. You know, it's just called shopping, window shopping. Window shopping when you ain't got anything but a window to look through. Okay. And so I'm looking through and I see this guy come up. And he says, how you doing? So I'm doing good, man. He said, Lord bless you. I said, Lord bless you. So have a good Christmas. I said, that's all right. You too, bro. And I'm walking along, and all of a sudden, I look behind me, and I see him. He's way down there, and his eyes get that big. And he starts running toward me. Now that I've had the opportunity to be on D-Block, and somebody's eyes get that big, and they get running toward you, especially after some person, I won't mention his name, but his initials are Benny Davis, goes, y'all think y'all something, y'all ain't nothing. He was preaching. He was getting ready to preach our funeral, what I was getting ready to do. Some Samoa guys, bigger than me and Benny all together, could shoot us up and shoot the bones up, come running toward me. I went, oh God, I'm dead. And he grabbed me and just held me and said, this is so awesome, man. I said, yeah, it is. and let me just tell you, he was talking about Saul of Tarsus. He was comparing him to Saul of Tarsus. Then he said, after he got them all mad at him, then he said, y'all have not done anything worse than what Saul of Tarsus did. Now, he was a bad dude. Let me just help you out. So Benny ain't there going, y'all low lives. That ain't what he's doing. He was ministering. But he still about got us killed that night. All right. Matter of fact, next time we had pick partners, I picked somebody else. And this guy is running down. He had already gone out of Roses down by the peanut shack. He turns around. His eyes are that big, and he's running. He's only about that tall. And he's running and running and running. And I'm thinking, has the Holy Ghost got a hold of him? Is his pants on fire? He's trying to find a water bucket. What's going on? Then I hear him hollering, Brother David! Brother David! And now I'm wondering, should I even stop? Should I hide? He finally gets to me. He almost knocks me down. And he says, the Lord just spoke to me. And he took his hand like this. And he went, Merry Christmas. God loves you. And he's proud of you. And about that time, it was one of the first times I got one of those holy handshakes that were green. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Yeah. And so he does that, and then he slides his hand out. And I said, huh? He said, God's proud of you. And he runs off. And I looked, and there was a crisp $20 bill. All I had was 10, and I used it to buy this family a ham. Stopped at Walmart. Roses back then. On the way back, in that place, only while I'm in there, here comes this man. And in less than an hour, that $10 of giveaway had come back 20. I'm not trying to tell you give something away, it's coming back double fold. I'm not saying all that. I'm just telling you what happened to me. Now, I can multiply that time and time and time again. Maybe what was a holy green handshake. Sometimes it's a healing. Sometimes it's just a bill being paid, not know where it came from. Sometimes it's a refund. Sometimes it's somebody doing for you what you did for them. Somebody coming over and doing something that you didn't know how to do. And all of a sudden, Daniel, when he was born, the boy had cystic fibrosis. God healed him. But he had these high fevers. And so when his teeth came in, they came in with very thin enamel. The doctor said that's from the high fevers. And so his teeth kept breaking off. And so they had done pulpotomies, and he had silver teeth in the back, and he had false teeth in the front, and he kept getting false teeth knocked out. So finally I just said, hey, you got something spacing them. So he grinned. He had a big old spacer up there, and his teeth be in his pocket. And one day we're working on the, watch this. One day we're working on the church. We thought we had a minor problem. Why not being a major problem? And so it was only me and another guy working. Started out with like 20 and wound up with 2. I know y'all have never heard of that before in church. And we're up there working. And so DC and Daniel said, Dad, let us help. I said, okay, y'all can help. And Daniel's got like $1,000 worth of work in his mouth. And he's got this old silver tooth right here. Got to stay in. Doctor said to stay in for another 2 years. And him and DC were back there working, trying to get up shingles. And Daniel got in the way of DC, and DC hit him in the mouth with a shovel. Boop. And Daniel went, uh-oh, Dad. And I'm up here now. Broke as a convict. I'm standing on top of that roof saying, God, I'm working for you. I don't really want to be up here right now, but I'm going to do it because everybody else, you know, I was like Gideon. They all had ran. And Daniel says, Dad, can you come here for a minute? I said, okay, Daniel. What's up, buddy? And he went. And he spit out about $500 worth of dental work. And my heart sank because I didn't have any dental insurance. Didn't have any insurance. My heart sank. And I said, Lord, here's what I said. I said, Lord, if we hadn't, I know this is that carnal in me again. I said, Lord, if we hadn't been here working for you, he wouldn't have got hit in the head with a shovel to start with. I said, right here doing work for you. Everybody else is gone. And the two of us are trying to do a 20-man job. And I said, now my son gets his tooth knocked out. I said, Lord, it sure would help if you would show me that somewhere down the line you're here with me. And I had no longer got the words out of my mouth. When a car drove up, and the guy I was working with was a mechanic, he said, I'll be back in a minute. That's one of my customers. I said, okay. And I said, I like his car. Who is he? He says, that's Dr. So-and-so. Dr. So-and-so. I never heard of him. He says, yeah, he's a dentist. I said, a dentist? He said, yeah. I said, cool. So I climbed off the roof and said, come here, Daniel. I walked up and told the dentist, I said, look, I got a problem. He says, what? I said, see this pulpotomy? He says, yeah. He said, he done a pretty good job until he got hit with a shovel. I said, yeah. I said, it's kind of broke off, and I don't know what to do about it. He said, look at here, and he held Daniel's mouth up. He looked all around, you know, and he said, oh, it'll be fine. That's going to break out anyway. I'll give another couple months. It'll be out this way. He said, I tell you what, don't worry about it. It'll be okay. Don't take him because they're going to charge you a bunch of money to tell you he's going to be okay. Just don't worry about it. I said, how much do I owe you, Doc? He said, not a thing. I got back on the roof and got my shovel and said, thank you. Lord, you just sent a dentist. I mean, I just got it out of my mouth, and here comes the dentist. Okay. So now, again, I know I've rambled. Now I've got into rambling. Okay. Lord, I was born a rambling man. Okay. Everybody stand up. Just stand up. I'm going to shut up. Stand up. Here's the law of the harvest. Get ready. We reap only what has been sown. We reap the same kind as we sow. We reap in a different season than we sow. We reap more than we sow. We reap in proportion to what we sow. We reap the full harvest of the good only if we persevere. And watch this. We can't do anything about last year's harvest, but we can do something about this year's harvest. Okay? Y'all guys come up and start playing something. Cast your bread upon the water. It'll come back. You cast a good attitude. You cast your time. You cast your talent. You cast your treasure. You cast it on the water. It's going to come back. And when it comes back, it's going to be awesome. was it, fountain? I can't tell you how many times. I can't tell you how many times they would call me in to a meeting or call me into someone being fired or call me into something where there were some bad attitudes going on. And when I get called in, I say, come in, take your engineering hat off, put your preaching hat on, because you know how to defuse this bomb. We need you to help. And the biggest thing I learned was if you'd go in there with a smile and start sowing a good attitude and sowing some positive stuff and listening, you start reaping what you sowed. There's times I'd even send the other person out of the room because they were sowing more discord. Get out of the room. Jesus did that. Get out. Just let me keep my main guys here. Because we got to sow some stuff. And we want a positive result back. So we got to sow it good so we can get it back good. This morning, with every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm not going to keep you long. If you're here this morning and you've been getting some rough stuff thrown your way, it's been tough. Maybe through your workmates, maybe through your family, maybe through wherever, you've been getting some rough stuff. You've had to endure some pain. Some of it may have been necessary, but some of it was not necessary. And you're saying, Lord, I need you to do something. I need it bad. You got to do something. If I'm talking to you right now and nobody's looking around, because I'm not going to call you up here, I'm just going to pray for you at your seat, right, from up here. If you endured some tough stuff lately and you're needing God to turn some situations around, would you put that hand up and just say, pray for me. It's been some tough stuff. There you go. Hands coming up all over the place. It's been some tough stuff. I'm going to challenge you. First, I'm going to pray with you, but then I'm going to challenge you. Prayer, Lord, let them see there is a light at the end of the tunnel. And let them see that you've got something special for them, and that if they didn't have such a good treasure coming this way, then the enemy would not be fighting them so hard. But my challenge to you is whatever you need, whether it's understanding, whether it's cheerfulness, whether it's just a smile, whether it's a change of attitude, whatever it is that you need, I challenge you when you get in that situation, you give it first. Give it first. Because the Bible is a principle. It's a principle. Whatever you sow, you'll reap. Maybe you're here right now and you've done some sowing and you're kind of worried because you haven't seen any benefit from it. And you're kind of worried that you're not going to see any benefit from it. And you feel like I've just sowed and sowed and I'm about ready never to sow anymore because I'm not seeing any production. You always reap in a different season than when you sow. And your season's coming. He said, you keep doing good, and you'll reap if you don't quit. That's not my word. That's God's word. It's a principle. Whatever it is you're in need of, sow it. I had something in my pocket, but when I changed pants, I didn't put it in my pocket. But I'll tell you what I've been doing. I showed my wife yesterday. I've been carrying around apple seeds in my pocket for quite some time. I love apples. I eat apples. Eat them all the time. But as long as those seeds are in my pocket, I'm not going to get any apples. And I keep those seeds in my pocket to remind me, as long as those seeds are kept in my pocket, nothing's going to happen. I'm just going to carry around some seed. Some of us in here right now, we're carrying around seeds of hope for people, seeds of attitude adjustment, seeds of even monetary seeds of hope for somebody that doesn't see any hope. And as long as those seeds stay in your pocket, as long as you keep looking in the mirror, the blessings are halted. But when those seeds are spread, that's when the fruit starts coming. If you're here this morning and you need anything from God, whether it be new life, new attitude, a new outlook, I invite you to come to this altar right now. Come, all that will, to this altar. I know it's getting late, but that's okay. You can't sow but sow fast or the roads get crooked. God, there's something I need. Here's the challenge. Whatever you need, give it. Something I learned a long time ago, if what I've got is too small to meet my need, then it's my seed and I need to give it. You can help so many people. Bring them hope. Help them with their attitudes. Help them with their outlook. When they see an obedient person before God, plant that seed. If you're at your seat right now, I want you to put that hand up. Put a hand up. Here's what I want you to add. We're going to pray it together. Father, y'all say it with me. Father, out loud. Father, I give you my time, my talent, my treasure. Father, help me not to be idle and always trying to play it safe. Help me, Lord, to cast my bread upon the waters. Help me to sow and know that I will reap in due season if I faint not. I thank you for that promise in the name of Jesus. I give the Lord a hand clap of praise. I'm expecting to start hearing some awesome testimonies and seeing some awesome stuff, because I believe somebody's going to get a new energy, get a new determination, get a new outlook as they begin to sow. One of my favorite Christmas songs is, I redid the words, let me sow, let me sow, let me sow. Try it immediately. When you get in the car, when you get to wherever you're going to eat lunch, try it. Try it. Give them a smile. Watch it come back. Give them understanding. Watch it come back. Give them a good attitude. Watch it come back. Watch it. Watch it. You see somebody in need, help them, and then God's going to help you in your need. Watch it happen. Watch it. Watch it. Come back tonight. We're not going to talk about this. We're just going to have a good time. Come back tonight. A beautiful wife. Do you love the Lord? How about give him a shout? Oh, come on. He's awesome. Amen. Remember, sometimes, not all the time, I will say all the time, but sometimes, my friends, here's my challenge to you. The next time you see somebody that looks kind of, when you walk up, you start going, look in the mirror and see if you didn't do it first. Have you ever been in front of somebody and all of a sudden your nose starts itching, so you're going, and all of a sudden they start going, they reflect. So So I challenge you, when you go out, find somebody and go, no, I'm kidding. Praise God. Let's get out of here before I get carried. I've already got carried away. Get carried away twice. Amen. Amen. Brother Wayne, we just miss us in prayer, please.